Happy Halloween, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry, and it's the seniors. As always, the seniors is brought to you by our friends over at Heartland Flags. Rob Gray, I don't know if you heard about this, but there's a huge sporting event tomorrow night in Cleveland.
Thanks for reminding me.
Well, yeah. Now, I don't know if you heard about this. The Cleveland Cavaliers are set to host the Houston Rockets tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And if you want to show your support, you can go right on to heartlandflags.com. Go to sports flags, NBA flags, Cleveland Cavaliers flags. Oh, and look at this. I can get a nice little Cleveland Cavaliers flag to support the Cavs tomorrow as they take on the Rockets at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
That's
in Cleveland.
You got to get a flag to commemorate the biggest game in the history of Cleveland sports.
Right.
And, yeah, for the Cavs, go for it.
If you're a Rockets fan, you can go right on there. You can get a Rockets flag, too. You can get any flag, in fact. Actually,
any
take
team.
That back. You can't get a Houston Rockets flag. Heartland Flags, the presenting sponsor of the seniors. You can find them online at heartlandflags.com, or you can go to their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines, or you can give them a call at 1-800-340-1157 or their local phone number, 515-282-7603. Heartland Flags, the presenting sponsor of the seniors. What's up?
You know, the Cubs flags are going to be flying. They purchased it. Heartland flags, really that big. Now, I see what you did there. That was pretty.
Did you like my curveball?
It was nice. It was sly. It was sly.
I told you weren't going to see it coming, didn't I?
Yep. And I didn't. I didn't.
Just like Iowa State didn't see Jesse Ertz running for 100-something yards coming.
True. And that 54-yard run. That is his forte.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they use him, but I was impressed with his speed more than, because you think of the prototypical Kansas State running throw as an afterthought quarterback as Colin Klein, who's
right.
A big lumbering kind of guy. Elusive and sort of fast, but Ertz's speed and shiftiness was obviously a big problem for the Cyclones in another close Big 12 loss.
How do you feel after this game? I'm like really neutral. But, at the same time, I'm just like, I don't know. I just wanted to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and that's kind of been how this season has gone. Once you take out the first two games in which they were discombobulated, to say the least, and I think still trying to determine who's going to see the field and who isn't, you've had the letdowns, the mm-hmm. big leads against Baylor and Oklahoma State. You know, you had a letdown of a different sort against Texas, whereas if you get a couple touchdowns early, it's probably a game all the way through instead of a pretty easy Longhorns win. And then you get this one where you're flat, throughout the first half. You get revved up by that onside kick, Chris Francis executing perfectly, and then the defense gives up third and 10, third and 14. The third down defense was such an Achilles heel in that game. But they came back. I think that's the next step, maybe, that if you can eliminate the flatness that came before that, you're strong later in the games, whether it's, just guys being better conditioned or just being in a better mental state down the stretch. Got to put that whole package together, and that's still what they're searching for. And I know it's maddening for them and certainly maddening for fans who nonetheless keep coming out 50,000 plus strong.
Yeah. I think that we were sitting up in the press box. We were all kind of looking at each other during that first half, and it's like, what the heck have they been doing the last 2 weeks? I mean, they didn't look – I don't know if it was that they weren't prepared to play. They just weren't ready, mentally to play. Hmm. They just didn't look like they were all there,
No, I'd agree with that. And, of course, what we were told they were stressing during that time was fundamentals. And what you saw was poor tackling in the first half missing, dropped, you see drops, you see missing down throws, you see a missed assignment maybe in picking up a blitz. I mean, just a lot of the sort of mental errors that lead to big things that you don't expect after that time to come back and prepare with an extra week.
It's going to be interesting to see how it goes this week with Oklahoma. I want to see with the quarterbacks, Are they going to do this? I want to see if they're going to do this change in the middle of the drive thing, if that's going to be like a thing, or it's just the one time against Kansas State they thought that was going to be a look that would work.
Yeah, I think it could be a thing, particularly since Lanning is so good at getting a yard or two. So if he can be short yardage on third down, or you're in a situation where you feel good about going for it on fourth, he can bulldoze a few people.
Right.
And wasn't able to get that done in that just deflating stretch, first and goal, at the inside the one, and then the miss on the pass to Montgomery by Park after three failed running attempts. But I think it as you wrote about, it can give some clarity to the whole rotation.
Right.
And as Coach Campbell reiterated today, in his mind and the staff's mind, both guys deserve to be on the field. They've earned that.
Mm-hmm.
Will they be on the field at the same time a few times if they, feel like changing it up even more? Who knows? But, to see that, okay, Park's your guy to sling it and Lanning's your guy in short yardage or change up situations or just red zone situations, at least they kind of have a sense of this is when I'm in, this is when he's in, at least until further notice.
And, the door is open to put up some points this week against Oklahoma. Even though you have the short preparation, you don't get as many days off, or really any day off, you kind of just jump right into getting ready to play Oklahoma. I think that the door is open to put up points against this defense because it's just not that good.
No, I don't think it's that good either. Now, when they've had big, big, big points put up on them, say like Texas Tech, you're also usually a pretty elite offense that's putting up those big points. But certainly Iowa State's in a position to at least triple or quadruple or more than that. Kansas, it was kind of weird to tune in the early second quarter and find Oklahoma was only leading 7-3 on Texas. Well, 56, 49 points later.
I can't believe that you were watching Kansas-Oklahoma during the evening games on Saturday.
At times. I wanted to see what was going on. Just because it happened to look at the score and I saw late in the first quarter, it's like Kansas is only down 7-3. Oklahoma has proven itself to be susceptible not only to, a good running game or a good, Kansas, they put up decent points on them.
Right.
What was that, like put up three touchdowns on them, I think. But also you can hit them with the big play here and there too. So obviously we know the Cyclones are going to have to put up big points to even be in a position to beat Oklahoma because their offense is that good. But I see, according to the Dallas News, that P. Ryan is – Stoops says he's not expected to play against the Cyclones. He's been out for a while, and Joe Mixon took a big hit in Kansas and was sidelined there. So, you've got two of the elite running backs in the league that happen to both be Sooners. Very iffy for this game, even though Cat could go five deep with those guys. You probably got a walk on that was a four star in the five spot. So the usual formula. You got to control that a little bit, but then Baker Mayfield can do so many things. And if you crash hard on the running backs and the zone read, Mayfield can hit you for some yards. Mm-hmm. And after what Ertz did, that's got to be a huge concern. And of course, they have playmaking receivers as well.
Let's talk a little bit about this Mike Warren situation.
Mm.
So, what was it? Six carries for
34
yards.
Yep.
Yeah. I want to get your thoughts first. What do you think is the situation here?
Well, I think the situation is David Montgomery wowed these guys a lot from day one when he got here, and he's flat out earned more time on the field than Mike Warren has. And I asked Campbell about Montgomery today and hinted at he just runs routes well. He seems to be doing the little things that – and it's not like Mike Warren doesn't do some of that stuff too, but it seems like he consistently has become a guy they can count on to maybe pick up a guy on the blitz or chip a guy here and there so, a positive play can be gained from something that maybe wouldn't have been otherwise. And, he runs with such strength and purpose. And again, the route running seems to be a pretty sure-handed guy. He's complete, as Campbell said. And to be complete at this stage, he said it took a couple weeks to probably get his feet under him at this level, catch up to the speed of the game, but he thinks he's fully there. And, I mean, you've got you can't, I mean, you can't be running and standing still. I mean, it seems like he's taking steps every week. And you know, Warren's been banged up. We all know what he did last year, top freshman rusher. I mean, he's got the ability to put up big numbers on a weekly basis. But Campbell stressed also how much more he loves, he almost loves practice more than games.
And right.
He's watching these guys. And just think Montgomery has impressed the coaching staff more. You know, during the week.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, people keep, it's like, why has he not gotten the ball? Why has he not gotten the ball? And it's just like, I see, you know, where everybody's coming with that, but it's like at some point you just have to look at it and be like, maybe he just got beat out.
Yeah.
You know, early in the season he had opportunities to make some plays, like the play against Oklahoma State where he dropped the ball, or not Oklahoma State, Baylor. Mm-hmm. They swung it out to him and they had their drive going and he dropped it and had a lot of space to run. And there was the play was that he fumbled. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of those timely fumbles.
Yep.
And it's just like maybe eventually some of those things caught up to him. Plus the fact of what we'd already been hearing early on in the year about how, you know, he wasn't practicing well enough on during the week and stuff like that. And, you know, now it's just come to the point where it's like he's just got to show up if he wants to get on the field, you know?
Yeah, that was a lot of foreshadowing. Remember when he was asked early in the season and Coach Campbell was, and he said, well, you know, Mike's got to do all the right things on the practice field and off it to really warrant, you know, getting the type of featured status that he got and deserved, richly deserved last season. You know, some guys this lights a fire under, and that's good because you're always going to have if you're going to be a competitive football team, you're going to have a competitive backfield.
Right.
Where someone's going to be the guy who says, I'm going to go out and do everything extra to earn the featured status or to be the guy that's in there in the most important situations. And, I think you're exactly right. It's just as simple as David Montgomery has done that on a more consistent basis in practice, you know, without being there and knowing for certain that would seem the logical conclusion to draw from the fact that he's being featured more than Mike Warren is.
Like, I think it's a little bit telling when you think back to that first and goal situation at the 1 yard line. They run it with Joel Lanning and then they give it to Montgomery.
Yeah.
And it's not that Montgomery's like a really – I mean, he is a good short yardage back, but it's not like last year when Josh Thomas was the short yardage back. If they needed a short yard, then they were going to give it to Josh Thomas. Mm-hmm. Now, like, it's like Montgomery's the guy. We're going to give it to him when we need a yard. When we need that yard, we're going to give it to him, when before it would have been Mike, you know?
Yeah. And I know they did – occasionally, so I mean, you had the Kansas State game last year. As you mentioned, the fumbles carried over to this season a little bit, and you had that drop on that screen that, yes, could have been a big play. That's got to factor into it as well. I mean, you put the ball on the ground, no matter, you know, tough deal, great kid. You know, he's playing hard, he's played very well as a Cyclone, but if that continues to happen, those types of things continue to happen, it's going to rightly dents your playing time.
It just, there comes a point when it's like, we can't forgive you forever.
Yeah.
You know, there comes a point when it's like put up or shut up time.
Yeah. And then you wonder what the response is in practice. Is there a heightened, you know, sense of urgency, which Coach Campbell stressed repeatedly when asked about, you know, what's, you know, the expectation going down the stretch of this season and will carry over and how much urgency is being supplied. And if it's more like, I've done this, this, and this, or does my urgency have to be there? You know, like that, you know, you earn it on a weekly basis with these guys. And no matter what you did last year, no matter what you did 2 weeks ago, if you're not doing what they want on the practice field with the level of intensity they want, you're gonna see your time cut back.
So what do you think is gonna happen with this game on Thursday night? Do you like the Thursday night game?
I think Thursday night games are fun. The Friday night game in 2011 was really fun.
Well, yeah, but that as much? Would that have been as fun if it hadn't finished the way it did?
No, but I do like those. You know, when you get the opportunity to be, you're the featured game. You're on ESPN. Obviously, you're competing with the pros as well. The NFL game that night, but you've got a big platform, a big showcase for your program. I frankly don't like this matchup.
No.
And Iowa State's long suffering deal with the series, you know, let alone what they've the dirt the wins over the last three plus seasons too. But I think Oklahoma opened as an 18 point favorite, and it's ballooned up to around 20-ish. I thought it might have been 20.5 to open was my guess. I don't know if it'll get there, whether it'll come back a little bit, but I just see the Sooners covering in this one. I think the Cyclones get some things going on offense, but, you know, think of their running game.
Right.
They can gain 7 and 8 yards on first down, too, and that's what doomed the Cyclones against Kansas State in the first half. They're always third and short, third and one, third and two, and, of course, they're going to convert the lion's share of those. It just doesn't seem to set up well for the defense being able to contain the Sooners out well. You know, I hope I'm wrong, but I see more like a 24-27 point loss in this one.
I'm going to call a Cyclone backdoor cover.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That means it's interesting throughout, too, which is obviously good for us.
Well, or, you know, they're down by like 27 and then score a touchdown right at the end, and then they lose by 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that they do compete. Like you said, if they can, frankly, punch Oklahoma in the mouth, whether it be via big play, a trick play, whatever, and get a couple quick touchdowns early, they're on the road. Hey, they had a short week, too. They've got their banged-up running backs. I'm sure other guys are banged up, too. Some of those guys might be saying, how in the heck is Iowa State? Did they just do that to us to start? Now, they've shown to be a pretty resilient team, generally speaking, except with the, you know, a couple of the early season losses. But I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility the Cyclones could compete and you know, who knows in the closing minutes. I just don't see that happening, and it's hard for me to say, to predict it's going to happen after, you know, 1-7 start.
So the Cyclones are ranked in the AP Top 25 for men's basketball for the 57th week in a row.
I think a lot of people thought that that streak was not only in jeopardy, was probably going to end, right?
Yeah, I think so. At number 24.
AP did everyone a favor.
Right.
57 weeks.
Did you know what the number one song in America was the last time Iowa State wasn't in the top 25?
I believe I heard it mentioned, but since all I listened to was like classical music, it didn't ring a bell. What was it, Royal?
Isn't it Lord? Isn't that what the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the number one movie was some Thor movie.
Like the Dark...
I don't know. Not the first one, but some other Thor movie. I haven't seen a single one of them, so I don't know. But
I haven't either.
That's the research Alex Halstead and I did this morning.
Yeah, my son loves the comic book ones, but apparently that's all Hollywood has in terms of source material nowadays, so we can't see all of them. We haven't seen the Thor ones yet.
We're going to go down this road now? I'm sorry everybody ran out of ideas, Rob.
Well, we don't have to. Actually, a lot of really good independent things are being done that tap imagination beyond Stan Lee's.
Yeah, well, you know what? Independents don't make the dollars.
Generally not. And I mean, it makes sense you do this kind of stuff because they're going to be blockbusters, and the action, it sells worldwide. And
your son loves them, so.
Yeah, and some of them are fantastic, you know, films.
Which one's your favorite?
My favorite comic book based?
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know if I go... Way back, Avengers Age of Ultron was really good.
I haven't seen that one.
Here's the deal, and I don't want to dwell on this too much. They're not that memorable. You can tell they were well made. You've got a big star, and they're entertaining.
Mm-hmm. For that hour and a half, 2 hours that you sit there and watch the movie, you don't hate your life.
Well, I never hate. I hope no one hates their life. But it's a pick-me-up. It makes you feel, you know, all that stuff. But, they don't stick with you like the plot of a great film that affects you on a kind of a visceral level.
Like Shawshank, the movie about the Loch Ness Monster, according to Chris Williams.
What a great film. I can't believe it was only so many hours in the day. Apparently Chris decides that movies are not an investment worth making.
Even movies that literally everyone else in the world has seen.
I think it becomes a badge of honor for him not to see them then at that point. He wants to differentiate himself that way.
Yeah, whatever. so, Yeah, Iowa State ranked in the AP top 25 for the 57th straight week. That's a big time program thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas and Arizona, the only two schools that have had a longer streak.
Yeah, to think that, nope, not Duke, not North Carolina,
yeah,
not Kentucky, Iowa State among that trio. Says a heck of a lot about what
Steve Prohm and Fred have been able to
do. Yeah, and their staffs and you know, hitting on the right guys. I mean, particularly in the transfer market.
I mean,
almost all those guys have worked out, you know, on every front, not just productive on the court, but not having issues that people sometimes associate with transfers.
Yeah, you're going to write.
Not many, anyway.
You're going to write about one of those guys, too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to first basketball feature down the road sometime soon, as well as reading your fine beat work.
You don't want to give away who you're going to write about?
Well, I want to make sure the interview happens.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
When's the Where Are They Now coming out this month?
It's coming out. It's scheduled to come out tomorrow.
Have you written it yet?
I've written some of it.
Nice. Who is the subject of this one?
Marquez Gilstrap.
There we go. What's interesting about Marquez Gilstrap?
So much is interesting about him. I mean, Covington, Georgia. He's now works at the school, his high school that he started at, and is an assistant basketball coach. And so he's been in touch in recent years since he started doing that a few years ago with guys like T.J. Otzelberger. Now, of course, it's South Dakota State, but one of the integral guys in getting him to Ames, Danielle Robinson, even Coach McDermott, who he played that one season under, averaged a double-double in Big 12 play. And one of his legs was messed up still.
Like Deontay Burton's going to this year.
That's right. That's the expectation.
Yeah.
And he's happy to try Marquez a little bit more height.
Yeah.
But he got hurt this first junior college stop, and he wasn't able to properly rehab it.
Uh-huh.
He basically just figured a way out to get himself to where he could walk. Then he worked for 2 years, delivering pizzas, manufacturing sector too, and finally latched onto another JUCO, and then you know, they found him and got him to Ames. It's an inspiring story, really, and that's what's fun about a lot of these Where Are They Now is that the adversity that many of these people have faced and overcome or dealt with and just, you know, found a way to, you know, trudge through it. It's a really fun guy to interview, and really glad I was able to get a hold of him, and thanks to him for sharing everything.
So we're going to have that tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, unless our schedule changes.
No, I can't imagine it will. We'll get it on there.
Excellent.
So we're only at 23 minutes. We got to figure out something else to talk about.
Yeah. I don't really want to talk World Series.
Why not?
I'm just glad they got it back to Cleveland. The Cubs did. Their young bats are a little too young at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, Baez is... It's like he's 18 years old again. It's not like he's that far removed from being 18 years old, but swinging.
That's not what you guys were saying 2 weeks ago.
Well, as the stage gets bigger and the lights get brighter, you know, that, you know, mythical 500-foot home run you want to hit every at-bat seems bigger as well. It was nice to see. I think Russell's plate discipline has improved the last couple games and some of the other young guys, but... Hey, that's one of the great things about the Cubs and the Indians, to be fair, is their youth.
Yeah.
The Indians just at this point have executed much better. And kudos to them. Two great managers going at it, though, with Francona near and dear to my heart as my Red Sox being my second favorite team. And of course, Joe Maddon, who is so good at managing egos, game situations. You know, last night I was like, I don't know if I want to roll this Chapman pitching 45, 46 pitch. But no, Joe says not only is he going to roll with them, he was brought there to close out games. He's not going to warm guys up.
Yeah.
It's his, or it's over. It's over.
Yeah.
And, you know, to his credit, that's why he's such a great baseball mind and, you know, shouldn't second guess him.
Aroldis getting his third career plate appearance last night.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. But again, hey, it all worked out. I mean, I think the Cubs' bats are due to explode. But then again, they haven't, but for a game or two in the postseason. So If they were due, you know, you'd think maybe it would have come earlier. But teams have let 3-1 lead slip before. I mean, the Indians did against Francona and my beloved Red Sox. I believe it was 7. Red Sox did it to the Yankees when they were down 0-3. I think the Royals did it mid-'80s, down 3-1 in the World Series. Mm-hmm. So there's that precedent as well. I just think
The Cavs just did it to the Warriors.
Yeah, in the NBA. So they I'm sure they believe they can do it. It's just
it's going to be karma back to Cleveland.
Yeah. I think the Indians have done more to earn it. They've simply played better. But that doesn't mean that the Cubs can't find that winning formula in the last two games. It's going to be thrilling, intense for both fan bases, since obviously Cleveland hasn't won it since 1948 and the Cubs way, 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 way back in 1908. So it's a step for the Cubs to get back to the World Series. Heck, the Indians to some degree too. But I'm not particularly hopeful, but I always hold on to hope, because if you don't, I mean, what's the point of caring about anything?
I might change my part of our bet.
Oh.
What I make you do. I might make you hold Joe Boo and a shot of rum instead of...
Do I get to do the shot of rum at least?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, excellent.
See, how can you get mad at that? You get to hold Joe Boo?
I can't, because then I can do my Eddie Harris voice, and after I drink it, I can go, "Hey, bartender, Joe Boo needs a refill," and then you can hit me in the back of the head with a bat.
Hey,
throwing from far away.
It's very bad to drink Joe Boo's rum.
It's very bad.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Allstate.
So, Iowa State plays Oklahoma Thursday night. We'll be there, of course, with full coverage. We'll have men's basketball availability tomorrow, so we'll have something from some men's hoops tomorrow afternoon. CFTV Live, as always, 12:15 on Tuesday. I will be back this week with Jeff Woody, so we'll be back to check out some Kansas State film, rather. Adam probably and I probably going to have to record on the trail on Wednesday because of availability, so we're probably going to have to delay that a little bit, but no Cyclone Fanatic radio show this week because of the game, and other than that, then we're just waiting for the exhibition Sunday afternoon, men's basketball.
Best time of year when it's overlapping.
Yeah. The Sioux Falls, I don't know what their mascot is.
I don't either. I think they should scrimmage the Sioux Falls Skyforce of the D-League. I know they can't. That wouldn't be allowed. But
why not the Iowa Energy?
Well, that would make sense. A little bit more sense geographically speaking. Yeah.
They would need to bring back Curtis Stinson. Mm-hmm. Didn't he play for them for a while?
He did. He was the face of the Energy for quite a while. Scrappy Curtis Stinson. Well, I unfortunately wasn't able to get a hold of for a Where Are They Now? Perspective, Where Are They Now? So if anybody has a line on Curtis, help me out.
There we go. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks again to our sponsor, Heartland Flags, the presenting sponsor of the seniors every single week. Go get your Cleveland Cavaliers flag before the big game against the Rockets tomorrow night. Or if you are like Rob Gray, you're a Cubs fan, got to get your W. Hopefully they can get two more Ws here over the next couple days. Well, I guess if you're me, hopefully not. I don't want to wear a Cubs shirt in my Twitter avatar. But, yeah, check out Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com. Check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines, or give them a call, 515-282-7603. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Rob Gray, I'm Jared Stansberry. We'll be back next week.